We turn to the chapter which we read. Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 6. We shall read again verses 9 and 10. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. The Christian life and walk is such that along the way we need much in the way of encouragement. We have many obstacles in our path. As we know, the world, the flesh, and the devil are set against God's people as they make their journey through this world to Zion, the heavenly city. We need encouragement. We also need exhortation. We need to be stirred up in our hearts and minds and strengthened in our wills to honor God, to be witnesses for Christ. If we're left to ourselves at any point, we just tend to go back into our old ways, worldly ways, and we are not zealous for the Lord as we ought to be. How we should be remembering always that we are bought with a price. Nothing less than the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. To serve the Lord as we should. To be aiming at that. And here we have a great part of the Christian life and the Christian walk in a chapter which is devoted to that. How should the Lord's redeemed people live? We can learn much from this chapter. What we have here is the subject of well-doing. Well-doing. We shall note, as God helps us, the practice. Then we shall consider the priority involved in it. Providence we are to observe, and the promise we are to believe. All these things in connection with well-doing. Firstly then, the practice. What is meant by well-doing? Well, literally, to do well, to do good. And we learn in Scripture that there is none good but God. God alone is good. Originally good, perfectly good. And God made man good, but man sinned, and man is now a corrupt creature. And his heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Man is by no means good. He may do things that are approved by God, but his works are not acceptable to God because his heart is not right with God. That is man by nature. And the Lord has made a difference in his people. A wonderful change, a saving change. They have been renewed inwardly. You see, the heart is the fountain of everything in the life. And if the fountain is polluted, then all that comes forth from it will likewise be polluted. Out of the heart are the issues of life. But if the heart is made good by God in His grace, then out of that heart good will come. Yet we know that because we still have our sinful nature, sin indwelling our hearts, what we do as believers, as those who follow Jesus Christ, is not good as it ought to be. It is tainted by our sin. It is only acceptable unto God through Christ as the mediator, according to His perfect obedience in our justification, and according to His infinite merit, so that our sins and shortcomings are answered for by Christ, and our good works are acceptable to God in Christ Jesus. And a good work is one that God says is good. To do well is to do as God requires that man does. God's word, the only rule to direct us. Good works, doing well, these things are determined by the moral law of God, summed up in the Ten Commandments. And there you have your duty toward God and your duty toward your fellow men. And perhaps here the emphasis is particularly on our duty toward our fellow men. In terms of the church, being a member in the Church of Christ, there are duties we have. To do well in the church, of course, means to attend public worship, but it means also to live as a Christian in the totality of one's life. Not just when we are among like-minded worshippers on the Lord's Day, but throughout the week. Prayer is doing well. It is acceptable to God. He approves of it. And we are exhorted to pray, to come before our Heavenly Father and to plead with Him that He would bless His own word to ourselves, to others of the Lord's people, and to those who are not yet converted. Prayer is relevant to the whole of life. Personal life, family life, the life of the community, church and nation. Prayer is something greatly neglected today, even amongst professing Christians. Few words with God in the morning and perhaps in the evening. Somehow that is sufficient. Prayer must be more of a habit so that we lift our heart to the Lord throughout the day. And prayer, as we are taught in our catechism, is an offering up of our desires unto God. That's where it begins. Do we have a heart set upon God so that the desires of our hearts are toward God? And out of those desires, desires for His glory and honor, prayer naturally flows. It rises up from our heart. Witnessing for the Lord. That is to do well. And we witness indeed by our words, telling what the Lord has done for our souls, proclaiming God's honour and God's mercy and grace. We've experienced it in Christ. We know the forgiveness of our sin. We have a hope of heaven. Oh, we meet so many, do we not? Those of the world, and their lives seem to be so dark, and their minds seem to be filled with sad and sorrowful things. All they have is their amusements, their recreations. They have nothing more solid than that. There's no foundation underneath them. They're on that shifting sand. That's what they're building on. And when the storms come, what can they do? They're full of fear. And they're thinking, perhaps, sooner or later, the end will come. The end of their lives in this world. And eternity, or if there's any grasp of it at all, their views are so vague as to what it means to die. And we are those who have been blessed by God out of his word with an everlasting salvation. And we have that encouragement from God's word that whatever may befall us in this life, we have a mansion in heaven. Can we speak of it? And do so feelingly, in gratitude to God, and with entreaty that those who do not have that hope might begin to think about it and to seek it for themselves through drawing near to God. Hospitality is something else that the Lord's people may practice. Something commended in the Word of God. And we can all do something in that regard. Showing kindness to others. Seeking their good temporarily. Do we not desire, when it comes to our fellow believers, to enjoy that fellowship which is only possible among believers, fellowship in the things of the Lord? Kindness. Kindness of every sort. Doing good practically, one for another. These things are there in the scriptures. They may not be great things in the eyes of the world. They may not receive praise from our fellow men. That does not matter. Our concern is the Lord. To do those things which please him. To do them in the way that God desires that we do them. Without a fanfare, without glorying in self, doing them as unto the Lord and for his glory. All those things which you find in the second table of the law, the things which God approves, the things which the Spirit will bless. The law prescribes these things. Grace alone enables us to do these things. We must cultivate this practice of well-doing, and there's no end to it. It is limitless. We read of our beloved Saviour that he went about doing good. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. and that in word and in deed. Then the priority we are to follow says that we are to do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That was the exhortation from Paul to the Galatian believers. The household of faith. Well, you have various relations in this world. You have your family, first of all. They may not all be believers, but you are to do good to them. You have friends and neighbors, and in your relation there, you are likewise to do good. But first and foremost, think of your brethren. And who are your brethren? They are those the Lord Jesus acknowledges as his brethren. And they are his people. That is the relation within the church. Brethren, one of another. Brethren in the Lord. Christ is not ashamed to call his people his brethren. That is a very wonderful truth. In what way can we be the brethren of Christ? Only indeed by the Spirit of adoption. Christ is God's only begotten Son, his natural Son. His people are his adopted sons. And greatly privileged. Family, if you will, dearly beloved, all who call upon the name of the Lord. In our own congregation, in other congregations, other churches, those who are of like precious faith, those who walk according to the light of Scripture, those whose hope is fixed upon the Lord. And are we doing good? Are we engaged in well-doing to those who are of the household of faith? We can pray for other Christians. And perhaps we have prayed and do pray for many Christians who are made known to us, who will never meet in this life, but we will meet them in glory. And so many believers who in terms of this life are far worse off than we are. They may lack in material good. They may struggle even to obtain their food and employment and to have health and strength, because of the adversity of their situation. But how often believers in lands less favored than our own are desiring most of all that their brethren in other lands, including ourselves, would be praying for their spiritual welfare. And you think of lands of great persecution, lands where to be a Christian openly is to invite great hostility and imprisonment, punishment and death. And what is their concern? It is that they will be faithful to the Lord and bright witnesses for him. That is of more importance to them than their own suffering. That's a great example for us. And to do good to such as we're able, and sometimes all that seems to be open to us is to remember them at the throne of grace. But the Lord approves of that. And that may be the greatest thing we can ever do for our fellow believers. But works of mercy, as these are possible, works of charity, helping to provide for believers who do not have so much of this world's good as we may have, to relieve those who are in distress. Things have changed so much that in modern life all this seems to be left to the state. And the church has handed over to the state so much of what the church should be doing. And you see, when these things are handed over to the state and the state becomes more and more ungodly, then all these good works, good things that God approves in His Word, become corrupted by the moral outlook, or should we say the immoral outlook, of the powers that be. And it would be good if the church recovered to herself well-doing, practical good, works of mercy, in order that there be a Christian outlook and emphasis in these things. It was the church that initially set up institutions such as hospitals, nursing homes, homes for orphans, and famine relief, and works of this kind. And these were seen as going with the gospel. The word first, but these things accompanying it as a demonstration that the gospel of Christ does not exclude one's existence in this world. And it does not mean that those who receive the benefits of the gospel and know the saving power of the cross of Christ have no interest in this life, in the welfare of the fellow men. Quite the reverse. When the Lord touches your heart, when you know something of the love of God in Christ, when saving grace works within your soul, your whole way of thinking is transformed. And you have, of course, a new understanding of God, who He is, and the glory that belongs to Him. And you have a new understanding of man, of yourself, of your fellow men. God has given us a soul. He's made us after His own image and likeness. And the worth of the soul, and the great need of our fellow men to have the gospel of Christ, to believe that gospel, and the Lord's people, those who are with us in the fellowship of the Church of Christ, as members of His body, to have a priority for them in our works of charity. Fellow Christians, in difficult circumstances, let us have a heart and a hand stretched out to them. Then the providence we are to observe in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. An opportunity is something we should seek. An opportunity to do good. The word also has the sense of ability. An ability to do good. And we know how many people view their ability to do good. They say to themselves, I'm just a poor sinner. I'm nothing. I have nothing. There really is very little that I can do to help anyone. I do not have the gifts. I do not have the abilities. And that is always wrong. It will be a denial of Scripture to accept that, because Scripture says that God has given talents to individuals in different measure, but surely every individual has some ability, some way of being able to serve, some way of doing well. And rather than saying there's nothing that I can do for the Lord, I can't preach a sermon, or I can't hold office in the church, I can't easily visit others or receive them into my home, we should be asking, what can I do? And asking in particular of the Lord that he would show us what we can do and who there might be that we could help in some way, even some small way. Do we not read in Scripture of giving a cup of cold water to a disciple in the name of a disciple? And it's something perhaps so simple that we might overlook it. Is there any good in that? Well, yes. If the brother or sister has a thirst and were able to provide something that they do not have themselves, that surely is a good thing. That is just a very simple biblical illustration of what can be done by any Christian for other Christians, and indeed for our fellow men. And the need is to see what the Lord has given to us in terms of gifts of one kind or another, and ask the Lord for grace that we might have the willingness to serve him in the use of our talents, and to ask him for opportunities, open doors, whereby recognizing someone in need, we can be of help and service to them in the name of Jesus Christ. That is important. All that we are enabled to do should be aimed at God's glory, and in recognition of the fact that without God's grace, we cannot do good works. They're not in us, not in the way that God requires, not with heart and soul, not with the humility, not with the self-sacrifice that ought to characterize these things, and was certainly seen in our Lord and Master in all that he did when he was in the world. And then, fourthly and finally, the promise. The promise we are to believe. In verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It follows what Paul has been saying about sowing and reaping. And the natural man sows to his flesh. And what is he going to reap? Well, of course, he's going to reap of the flesh corruption, because that is what the flesh is. That is all that the flesh can produce. Going on in sin and unbelief, the life ends in corruption, in everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Sin and misery, eternal misery. But the one who by grace sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And reaping is at the end. First there's the sowing. Then there's the watering. And only later is there the harvesting, the reaping. So it is in the spiritual life. What the Lord has sown by his Spirit, the grace that he has given, must be seen in the development of a godly character and in the doing of good works. More and more, herein is my Father glorified, in that ye bring forth much fruit. And are we like that? Well, we may be advancing in years, and perhaps physically we begin to fade, and there may be a weariness that sets in when it comes to many activities in life, but we should never be weary in this. The spirit of the Christian should be vigorous, very much alive, active and fruitful by God's grace. Not weary in well-doing, but continuing. And the believer enduring and looking toward the end and to the reaping time. The Lord reaps his people when they are ripened for glory. And until that day, they should be giving themselves to this, sowing to the Spirit, doing those things which please God and glorify his name, those things which are of benefit to their fellow man, especially their fellow believers. Then the harvest of life eternal, dwelling in God's immediate presence. And the crown of life and glory which the Lord will give to his people who have been diligent and faithful in this calling. Let us not be discouraged in a day of small things. Who knows what the Lord will bless that is done in his name, according to his word. And may it please the Lord that indeed our poor efforts at doing well will bring him glory and our brethren much good. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, enable us to be more fixed upon thyself in our thoughts, words and deeds, to have less regard for our own interest, more for the cause of Christ, more for our fellow men, and especially for our fellow believers. Strengthen us when we are weak and weary. and enable us to press on, following Christ, even in this, in doing good. Forgive our sins, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.